Something or someone feeds on me in my sleep. Or worse, nothing feeds on me in my sleep. Only these fumes and a sense of violence just ceased in the interior sky. I can't lie awake and wait for it. I must make a raft of consciousness and float it north down the Mackenzie River of sleep. I'll observe and observe and observe, while whatever it is that eats me, eats me. I become this single appetite.
Up, everybody! Let's fish! Don't forget long underwear and rain gear. Everybody up!
Oh, Lord, what a head.
Now, where's the reserve?
The green bag. Well, that's it. Now, here's to a noble hangover.
Breakfast in 15 minutes. 15 minutes to breakfast. Oh. McGurk and Van Sant.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right over here, fellas. You'll be in this boat. This is your guide, Francis McKenzie.
Okay, Francis.
Okay.
Here comes the gear, Francis.
Okay.
And that and this. Here. Kill him. Part of fingers. Hold on there.
I think this is the last of it. Now hang on to the dock and I'll haul my bottom in.
Okay, little beaver. Let's get them fish.
Fish? Okay.
You sure you can drive this tonto?
To wear the rain gear.
Yeah. What a ride!
I'm too damn big. The top doesn't come down over the pants. I got a gallon of lake down my britches.
You want a little of this civilized lightning?
You did a ball already this morning, huh?
Well, I drank enough last night to sleep well. I've had enough this morning to be awake well.
You rotten Irish bastards, you're all alike. Now give me that jug.
Yeah, this is fine country. It's good to be back in the Arctic. I was afraid it wouldn't be as good as it used to be.
Alaska much like this?
Yep. Yeah, it's full of Americans, too. Me, this is what it's all about. Spending part of the year in the north.
Hey, Francis, you may not know anything about boats. Where to find the fish, but you get right after that food, huh?
Okay.
Beautiful fellows, eh?
Lake trout is a fine fish.
Grow slow, don't they?
Well, the oldest one they've measured was 43 years old.
Yeah, they can tell me as much as they want to that them 10-pound is a little fish. But a 10-pound fish is a good one no matter what kind he is. Ain't that right, Francis? Huh?
Okay.
Old Francis, the talking guide. Understands almost nothing of what we say. Jonah knew what it was like to be in the same boat with alien travelers. And Ishmael.
Hey, am I hungry? Hey, pass the salt, will you, man? Come on, pass it. Let me get into there. Hey, listen, pal. This is big time for the Indian. He makes a lot of money here during the summer. What would he do if he didn't guide? Hmm?
Collect welfare? Get drunk?
Think of welfare up here, too?
Hey, Francis, you're good cook.
Mm-hmm.
There's good fish. Good.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, Francis, okay. Fish, okay.
Hey, welfare, just like the niggers, huh?
Yeah. Well, one of those virtues picked up from the whites.
Ah, boy, look at that cloud formation.
You can spend half your life here in the north just watching the changes in the cloud.
Francis, you get a lot of the Indian girls? No squaws? How about them squaws, Francis?
Squaws?
You get them in wigwam, huh? Little beaver.
Beaver? Okay. There. By river.
That's not what this dirty old man means by beaver.
Okay, you dirty old man.
Oh.
That'll teach you to mess with a noble savage.
Yeah. You're good Indian, Francis. I'm gonna hit the bushes while Francis cleans up.
I think I'll grab a short walk along the beach. Plenty of ruined cities, but no ruined stones, says McDermott. Beside the violence of this stone scatter, what can a Scot know of stones? A Scot, or any old world of mine.
I dream cautiously, as if between high peaks, heavy with avalanches. 77 days a year, the ice concedes small craft upon the waters here. Call it ratio of animal to angel. Beneath their infinite sky of ice, the fish dream a slow sound of breaking. When passage hardens between banks and numbers speak for hours and for years, cautiously, in my underwater light, I dream the fish.
Wilderness doesn't solve anything, but it's good, important to the soul. I mean, you think you can come north and leave all your bad dreams behind, complications, the rest of it. But you don't. If you stay too long in the bush, you get bushy, which is as bad or worse as being over-civilized.
Yeah. Well, I don't work very hard anymore. I make money anyway. I get a way to play. I'm a worthless bastard, and I like it. You got one on?
Wait a minute.
Yum. Little beaver? Fish.
Shot it down.
Fish. Turn her off! He has a fish!
At a swirl on the dark surface, I have a fish. I didn't wish to lure anything. Length-starved, slim as a snake, it lies still, resisting with one sunken eye. In the dark mirror within the skull shore, something too familiar begins to form. At a sheer edge, I release the freak. Without a noise, without a ripple. Almost.
Not bad. About 15 pounds, I guess. Hey, little beaver, where's all the big fish?
Big fish. Okay.
Nah, the big fish. That ain't a big fish. Where's the big fish?
Water.
That's right. All the fish are in the water. Any more questions, Willie?
Come on, caveman. Crank up the kicker.
Teeth
of air close upon the teeth of water. Between circles, a man in a small boat, trolling. One bird, one nothing lighter than another. The years-long fires under the tundra is what's left to understand. Voluptuous craving and thin satiety. Language melts in my mouth like August ice. Nouns dissolve in search for things to name. The search for nothing. The no thing at the edges of wind and water. Sound of a loon stuns the distance. A bloom, a hatch of insects. The birds, or something to do with birds, follows me into my sleep. One particle of the dark I carry with me into the light. It's nothing I would name.
What? Yeah. Well, we can't say they don't feed us.
True.
If we can just catch some fish the size of the ones there on the wall, we'll be home free.
Right?
What do you teach?
Creative writing.
My son is interested in creative writing. He's a sophomore at Loyola in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
He's over there. Why don't you join us for a drink?
I resist anything but booze.
Roy, this is Ralph McGurk, is it? Ralph McGurk?
Yep.
My son Roy.
Hi.
Mr. McGurk teaches creative writing at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. Roy studies English. What are you drinking?
A double rye on the rocks.
Huh, Roy?
Beer, I guess.
I'll get him.
Jack, you have a double rye?
What do you write?
Oh, I've got three books of poetry. Book of fiction coming out in fall.
That notebook, another book?
Yeah. In fact, it's another book in process called The Great Bear Lake Meditations.
Oh, prose, poetry?
A little of both. I'm attempting to come up with a new myth of the North.
What do you mean?
Jeez, what a hell of a day. I never saw anything as dumb as that either.
Well, it's obvious that you can't come to the North with a romantic, hairy-chested attitude that Robert Service used.
Hey, didn't you catch anything?
Damn minnows. An Indian doesn't know where the fish are.
Rye and beer. Hey, Dad, McGurk here is writing a book about the North.
Oh? Yeah. You see, what I'm trying to do is to bring consciousness, much complicated by civilization, into the wilderness, admitting all the while that that consciousness is complicated by civilization. Well, that is, to allow the two worlds to intermingle freely.
What I want to know is, where do they get these Indians anyway?
I'll be interested to see that.
Well, they're all around here.
Well, why the hell don't they bring up white Americans to God?
The Northwest Territories want us to use Indians, local ones, as much as possible.
Shall we sing Old Canada for the nice man, Jack?
Screw Canada. We should have bought the place a long time ago. It lives off U.S. money anyway. We fight all the wars, provide all the defense systems. Canada doesn't do a damn thing.
Oh, what's happening? Can I sit down?
By all means.
Screw America.
Oh, but you insults the states to me. Come on outside.
All right. If he comes outside, I come outside with him, little man. Sit down and shut up.
Oh, my God, Bill, you're a real patron of culture. If he'd kick my head in, I might never finish this book.
Yeah, you're right. Canadian?
Oh, no, not exactly. I was born in the States, but I've been here for several years.
Yeah, probably a draft dog.
I seem to be a little old, but I don't really care who wins or loses wars.
How is your best fish today?
About 20 pounds.
Yeah. Well, Bill here got one that ran about 18.
That's right.
I suppose you're Indian.
Oh, ignore him. He's grown.
Yeah, so am I. All the more reason to be unreasonable. Indians are ugly enough. You know, they make too much money and build lodges in the bush, tear up the wilderness. The Indians, after all, are responsible for all the world wars, smog, and so on, aren't they? Well, they're really perverse. When they kill a caribou, they eat almost all of it. They use the hide and the bones and all. instead of simply taking the antlers like civilized people and leaving the carcass and hide to rot.
Just like the niggers. I'm from Kansas City. They burned the hell out of it. Burned the police academy to the ground. I got a friend in Detroit says you can't even walk on the street. Don't talk to me about niggers and Indians.
And the Canadians. Don't forget the Canadians.
You damn right. The niggers, the Canadians, and the Indians. To hell with all of them.
Sure.
That's a good idea.
That's
really nice.
Jesus.
You write about the North a good deal?
Well, I've devoted about 3 books to it. I'm not satisfied with what I've gotten at it yet. Well, I don't really write about the North. I write about consciousness. North is just a vehicle. South would do as well. The labyrinth of the swamp in the south of the United States. There are no separate swamps, only one swamp. Darkness. Eyes of the frogs and gators in the dark. As the North represents light. Mind, masculine creativity,
mm-hmm.
The necessary idiocy of adventure, and the opposites of all these. Did you pick this up?
It's pretty complicated.
Hold up. Now, let's put it in supermarket language. Consciousness is a beautiful beefsteak.
Beefsteak?
Now, a mess we call existence puts it through the meat grinder of category, and you get hamburger.
Everything
separated into broken little strings.
Yeah, I guess.
Now, the idea of poetry is to put the hamburger into the same machine and come up with steak.
Well,
it's not as good as the original steak, because consciousness is better than poetry. The wilderness is green, brown, and blue hamburger. Until the great consciousness steps in to put things in order. Well, same so of cities, of civilization. Form is everything.
You prefer the bush to the city?
I prefer the bush to the city. I prefer the city to the bush. You understand that?
No.
Yeah.
Well, both premises are equally true.
Well, how do you resolve them?
I don't. Resolution belongs to the intellect, not poetry. I'm just a meat grinder moving between the Arctic Circle and the equator, between consciousness and the shabby world you call reality. And I wouldn't call at all for fear it had come.
Yeah.
I'm a pendulum. See? I just swing.
You swing. Look. If you're so big on consciousness, how come you drink so much?
Yeah.
Because I don't drink any less. It's the same polarity, really. It's necessary to sleep all the time and necessary never to close your eyes. What's necessary to represent the vision in words and necessary never to put it in words. Because words are inadequate. Necessary to write poems and necessary never to pick up a pen. I go years without a drink. And now and then I lose a year to booze.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an alcoholic and a teetotaler at the same time.
You got well,
what about
there?
Now?
A clear state of drunken sobriety.
Okay, bro. It must be hard, giving up your nationality.
Yeah. Nations don't interest me much. I never have. I'm neither a Canadian nor an American. I live in a sort of stateless state. I like that. Limbo.
Mm-hmm.
But Canada's still too diffused to be a nation. People are too independent to devote the sort of energy that nationalism demands. The Canadian flag's made of saran wrap.
Saran wrap?
Sure, you can put it next to the Union Jack or the Stars and Stripes. There's never a problem. My turn for a round. We've only got time for 10 or 12 more drinks before bedtime.
Oh, well. Rye for me.
Beer?
Drambuie.
I'll have rye.
Saran.
How far north will a mind consent? I'm alive because I wonder how far things can go.
Is there another launch on the island?
Where we're going is at the north end of Victoria Island. Minto Inlet.
Oh, yeah?
There isn't even an Eskimo village there. Just an Eskimo family up there for the summer.
Cat Sharp, Phil Seal, Guy Fisherman. We cross the Arctic Ocean?
Yeah, pretty quick. In a minute or two, we'll cross the Dew Line. I got a radio that we're coming across and they'll shoot us down.
Ha! No kidding.
They're pretty serious down there. Now, see that big white overgrown golf ball down there? The radar is inside that.
Yeah? Is that water the Arctic Ocean?
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph, that's the Arctic Ocean.
Right. Well, that looks good. Looks like we won't have to abort the compromise. Northwest beachcraft rolling.
That earth turns, I have no objection. How it turns concerns me. If only the atmosphere didn't turn too, I could have the air of China at one time of day, that of France at another, and so with all possible places. But it isn't that way. The air of noon is very much the air of midnight. Sunday bulges with Thursday's air. My lungs fill with the weather of 10 years ago. An atmosphere of every breath I've taken follows me everywhere over the earth. In this dimension, I've lived every instant of my history in precisely one place.
How long? Ask him how long.
How long?
Just a few minutes.
Hey, look at the bluffs on those islands. Not a tree anywhere. Hey, any plants on these islands at all?
Just moss, lichen, short growth.
Something is rising in the black throat of the sky. Something draws me into the earth by my eyes. Just beneath them, the avalanches of flesh begin. The language of a man alone in the bush goes the colors of boulder fields and lichen. Through the zodiacal light, he sees a bear the color of ice waiting on the ice for something to surface for air. The memory in his fingertips begins to callous over. Or to freeze.
Hand me down my rods, will you, Ralph?
Sure. Here's mine, too.
Now, this is Nick Ukulik, your guide. He'll take you about 6 miles upstream and put you off on the bank. We'll come and get you later in the day.
Hi.
Howdy.
Hello.
Say, those old char there you got drying on that pole?
Yes, char.
Oh, crap. What's the use of fishing? Old Nick here's caught them all.
No, lots of char.
You killed those seals today?
Yes.
Hair seals, ain't they?
Yes.
Hey, those must be our boats down there, eh, Nick?
Yes.
We'll see you later.
So long.
Seals and bears are entirely too human in death.
Yeah, well, let's get going, huh?
As I've constructed myself of alcohol, paper, and computer circuitry, these Eskimos have carved themselves from soapstone. Simple, heavy line. Surface so fragile it can be disfigured by a manicured fingernail. Their minds are the lichen that takes these stone islands into its hands. Only now and then does a seal surface inside them. Tethered to this passage of time as their lean dogs are tethered to their stakes, they, like me, await nothing. Busily.
Water's clear as a bell. These fish spawning?
Getting ready to. They won't turn bright red for a while yet. They come up like salmon.
Look at that little seal on the rock there. Little bastard. Ain't this fresh water?
Kind of a mixture of both.
Kind of a mixture. Part fresh water, part salt, part time, part eternity. The waters all plunge into the sea. We all begin in the mountains. As the Indian dirge of the ensnared bear goes, I came up from the mountain caves, the headwaters, where the small streams have now dried up. Jagged lines of time vanish into the circles of the sea. Life floods faster and faster into death. But the boundary isn't as clear as we suppose. Salt comes up the currents of the fresh water to meet us. One walks around, neither dead nor living. This is a kind of a mixture here. A seal knows. What does he know? What does he know that I don't?
On this island, too north for trees, I fish for Arctic char. The ice blue landscape is the color of ice blue water. A small seal reclines and watches from a rock across the stream. I lie that only water passes between the beast and me.
Did that Eskimo broad really have a papoose in the back of her pocket?
Sure.
Oh, they weren't bad looking.
Why don't you see if Nick will fix you up with one of his women? Something's on. Got to be a char.
Crank down on the drag.
Each hour, I deposit another stone in the pack sack beneath which Adam staggers. The stones have faces and scientific names. Their voices are the colors of moss and breaking. It is the ivory of Adam's bones that the Eskimos carve. Configurations of his face appear upon the water between swells where time is the whale who swallowed Adam and made for the cold waters of the north. All the eves of my history are sleeping beneath warm darkness somewhere near the equator. Their shapes are those of continents secure on maps of explored terrain. The motion of water is mine, and intermittent glimpses of illusory isles. Daily they sleep farther from me. Daily the dark arrives later.
What a beautiful fish.
I've never caught one that fought like that. After the Arctic char, you've just about had the course for North America.
Hip. There, I got one too.
I have been as far north as possible. More than this would be beyond language altogether. One goes as far into his consciousness as possible. As far north as possible. Leaving body, women, day-to-day responsibilities behind. For the sake of exploring the Arctic landscape of his mind. If only the impulse to press the frontier farther would yield.
Okay. Last day. Big fish today.
That's right, Francis. I've been telling him all week I'm going to catch the big one. I knew that before I came up here.
Damn, Francis. What are you good for? You don't know where the fish are. You beat up the boat. When the motor breaks down, I have to fix it. And we're supposed to tip you.
How long ago is it since my ancestors kept slaves?
What remains of their blood in my veins? And is it possible to care about such things? Then they bought men by the lifetime. This Indian is mine by the week, my guide. Things have changed. If he were white, the price would be the same.
Big fish today.
A little beaver. I don't know about you.
Snag?
Got the bottom? Back her up, Francis. He's got a snag.
Okay.
A bad chop on the water today.
Too much horizon. No possible shore.
Maybe not rock.
Maybe not, Francis.
How shall I contain 1,400 feet of water?
Snag?
No, I think it feels like...
the nothing at the floors of all my black water that whispers into my dreams. I am alive.
The fish. There must be a little one.
Yeah?
Coming in too easy.
Maybe not.
I am alive.
Wind's blowing us in that direction.
Because I wonder how far things can go.
Stand up, Francis. Can you see anything?
Cautiously, in my underwater light.
Okay.
I dream the fish.
Fish! Fish! Big fish! This big! Big fish! Okay,
Francis is seeing things.
Big fish!
Yeah, but just sting with the hook a couple of times. See what happens.
Okay, here goes.
Jeez, what am I into? A freight train?
No kidding.
Fish.
You got her?
Big
fish. Holy fish.
I can't hold him, Francis, crank up. Follow that fish.
Bring her up.
Between me and the bottomless water, the struggle is...
Not too fast. Don't give him any slack. Back off there, Francis. Slow down.
Yeah! Open me a beer, you bastard. Get that movie camera of mine rolling. I'll drink a toast to the film while I'm playing this one.
You're damn right. Relax. Playing that fish will be a career before you get him in the boat.
Although I shake the white knuckles of all my hands, a stone stillness fills.
Keep an eye on that line, Francis.
The inside of my bones.
That one will win the pot back at the lodge.
My right arm's going cramped. Let's see if I can stand up and brace myself.
Now, look, don't fall in with that shark you got on the line.
You know, there's nothing more idiotic, in a way, than a man sitting in a boat precariously, half the time out of sight of his beloved land, with a fishing pole in his hand.
Yeah, and think of the money.
As if my line cannot break, as if darkness can never fall again.
You sit here, fastened by a slender thread of line, everything that's mysterious, the unknown, world not knowing.
Big fish!
You bet your wigwam! He's turning, Francis. Watch him. Follow that submarine.
Push on, fish.
I become this single appetite.
We got 250 miles of length. 1,400 feet of depth to play in. He's getting another wind. Toy! Ho-ho! Don't go!
Way after him, Francis, after him. Yeah, hello! Hit that gas, Francis!
The wolves say to the dogs what the madman of me says to the citizen.
Here's another beer.
I need to go fishing until I need...
When that first runs over, watch him. He'll get kinky. I cut the line on the side of the boat.
Fish, my holding on here is no more ridiculous than your attempt to eat that piece of metal.
neither of us can distinguish between good and dangerous things. Okay.
It will be enough if I can only see it.
These fish are just like extra women.
No, then I go home and have a look at my wife.
I look at this tangled madness as a man looks at a woman. You dream that because I haven't been here before, neither has any man.
Now look, he's got to go over 40 pounds. You're going to have him stuffed if you get him in there.
No! That's just like some schmuck who has a really good idea and then sits down and writes a bad poem about it.
What do you mean?
Stuffing a fish is like writing a bad poem about a good idea.
Well, look, I'll have it mounted.
Ah, give me another beer and I'll think it over. Oh, okay.
Now is as close as I have ever been.
How you fixed for gas, Francis?
Ah, gas, hell. Oh, we fixed for beer.
Okay, look, if we don't get this one in, we're going to throw you in with the big fish, Francis.
I took today on a light line in hostile weather. Today, the fish shape between me and the bottomless water. The struggle was longer than its hours. The fingers of my consciousness chilled and cramped while the line cleaved round and round my small boat afloat on a broken mirror. Although I shook the white knuckles of all my hands, a stone stillness filled the insides of my bones. The only significant thing, it seems to me, is this imbecile station against what I cannot see. To hold as if my line cannot break, as if darkness shall never fall again, as if the ice won't close about me if I stay. It will be enough, I said again, if I can see it. Only see. And my time came round once again, great fins swirling half in water, half in air. The gill bellows drew in and drew in what I cannot name breath. I became a dangerous liaison between the water of my life and the air of my death. I pushed off from a forgotten place, an old encampment of will. There is nothing now but water, and water will not hold still. The sky is larger than sky here. Too much horizon, no possible shore. Now is as close as I have ever been. Now, with its longer form and slimier side. And now someone takes the gaff to drive something substantial into the merest mandible of my time. I shout, "Pass cautiously, don't touch my exhausted line." It is impossible, with grace, to intervene. The small knot of the lure went loose, and today rode slowly down the thermoclines of deepening green.
From Vancouver on CBC Tuesday Night, you've heard Poet in an Arctic Landscape by J. Michael Yates. The performers were Robert Clothier as McGurk, James Johnston as Van Sant, Ted Stitter as Welch, Jim McQueen as the manager, Merv Camponi as Francis, Lillian Carlson as the stewardess, Derek Ralston as the pilot, Michael Irwin as the barman, and the other guests at the lodge were played by Roger Dressler, Barney O'Sullivan, Joe Golland, Bob Graham, and Merv Camponi. The documentary was produced by Imbert Orchard with the technical assistance of Ian Stephen and sound effects by Lars Eastholm. This has been a CBC Vancouver production. Dan McAfee speaking.